All right, we're going to continue in our new series, Fantasy, Fiction, or Reality. Had a good first service, looking forward to this one. Now, let's just recap quick. Fantasy is no reality, completely made up, not based on any real truths. Fiction, based on some reality, but mixed with many non-truths. And then reality is the cold, hard truth. What you want to live in, what you want to believe in, is reality, not fiction or fantasy. Last week, we looked at the foundational core belief of the Christian faith, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, I can say 100% confidence, we know, I know, that the gospel is reality. It is true. God created humanity. Humanity fell into sin, separating us from our Creator. God says he will judge all sin, all sinners. All humanity is accountable to God. God loved us so much that he sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to make a way to pay for sin, to die a sinful, to die in our place on the cross, taking our sinfulness upon himself. Jesus is the only way to have our sins forgiven and to obtain eternal life. Are we arrogant to say that we know this to be reality, to be the truth? Well, some say, yes, you are very arrogant to say that. But I would say no. And that's what this whole series is about. Again, I'm not out to attack everybody, every other belief system in the world, but I am out to test every belief system. We've started with our own. And when we get done with this series, we can boldly claim in love and in humbleness to the world the reality of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Today, we're going to test the Christian faith by testing our Bible, which the Christian faith is based on. Can this book prove itself to be beyond the creation of man? Can it prove that the author of the book is God himself? It's a big claim. We will see that today. Now, let me give you a few statistics. The last Gallup poll said that 21% of Americans believe this to be the Word of God. Only 21%. But only 10% actually believe it enough to live it and obey it. That's sad. It's very sad. The church has failed in many ways to prove to people what a miracle, what an amazing miracle this book is. We've let reality be taken from us and corrupted into fiction and fantasy. And we did not do a very good job of standing up for the truth. It's time to change that reality. Let us put the Bible to test today. One, to grow your own faith and assurance in the book. And two, to be able to share with people who have heard that the Bible is not the Word of God. The Bible is full of errors. The Bible is non-scientific. The Bible is filled with hate. The Bible is not something worth reading. We have to be able to talk to people because this is what they've heard about the Bible. And we need to share the truth with them. Now, let's begin here with what the Bible claims of itself. In 2 Peter chapter 1, and so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. What this is saying is that God authored the book. The Holy Spirit, through holy men, directed them to write what God wanted written. The Bible is claiming here a supernatural origin. The Bible also claims this in 2 Timothy chapter 3. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, again, supernatural origin, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instructions in righteousness, that the man, woman of God may be complete. Here, the understanding of perfect. If the book is claiming to make us perfect in God's will, then the book itself must be perfect. One more claim. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For the word of God is living and powerful. It's alive. Sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The Bible claims to have a life-changing ability. So let us see if there is supernatural evidence in the Bible. Let's see if it is perfect. And let's see if the words of this book are really alive and powerful enough to change human beings. Let's begin with the fingerprints of a divine author on the pages of the book. And you see it right there, the supernatural elements. Now, if you've taken my apologetics course, much of the information today you'll be familiar with. But it's always good to hear it again. The supernatural elements are these. 40 writers, some kings, some lowly little farmers, and some scholars, great education, others completely uneducated. 3 languages, Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek. 3 different continents the Bible was written on, Asia, Africa, and Europe. Over a 1,500-year time span with one theme. No errors, no contradictions. The Bible was not a coordinated work by men. Most of these men didn't know each other, didn't live at the same time. They never met each other. They never coordinated. Why is this a supernatural element? 40 different writers, 3 different languages, different time periods, different continents, wrote 66 individual books that fit perfectly together in one, with one main theme supported by all of them connecting and supporting one another. And that one main theme is the redemption of humanity, God's plan to send Jesus Christ. It's a perfect book. I can find books today in present time with all our computers and everything. I can still find books. I got a couple upstairs that you're reading and you find an error, a typo, or even with all our sophistication, with one author and even with all the people's fact-checking books, you can find errors, but you cannot find one here. Now, I know a lot of people attack the Bible and say there are errors in it. 99.9% of the time, when someone says, the Bible's full of errors or contradictions, that person is only saying that because they've heard it somewhere or they read it on the internet. They have no clue for themselves if that is true. It's just something they've heard. Now, you do find people that will point to you an error in Scripture, what they call an error. Beginning my faith, I ran into one of these individuals. He showed me the error I'm going to show you today. And I was a brand new Christian. And when he showed it to me, it rocked my faith. I stepped back and I said, if what I believe is not true, I need to know that. I don't want to believe in a lie. So it sent me on a 2-year journey, 2-year study of this very subject, the inerrancy of Scripture. In the beginning, I feared individuals pointing out to me so-called errors in the Bible. But a few years later, I was seeking those people out. Because every time they pointed an error to me and I went to study it, to find out if it truly was an error, instead of destroying my faith, it built my faith because the errors proved themselves not to be errors. Let me show you one of their greatest examples that they always accuse of the Bible. It's called the Genesis 1 and 2 contradiction. They say you can't trust the Bible because the very first 2 chapters of the Bible get it all wrong. So how can you read the rest of it? Well, let me show you what they're saying. In Genesis chapter 1, you have the 6 days of creation. Now, yes, 6 literal 24 days of creation. Yes, no evolution. I will get to that when we get to humanism and atheism And that's something I do in my apologetics conference. We destroy that false theory. But in Genesis chapter 1 is the 6 days of creation by God. Supernatural miracle. Each day, the highlights are given, what he did on each day. Just the highlights. Genesis 1 doesn't give us all the details of how he did it and why he did it the way he did it. It just gives us the highlights of day 1 through 6. In that Genesis 1, everything is made. The last thing made in Genesis chapter 1 is humanity, which we see in Genesis 1:26. Let us make man in our image. And we go down to verse 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. So first he created him. Then he created her, which is them. You see that? But he created them after the animals and the birds. Now we go to Genesis chapter 2. And we see, and the Lord God said, it's not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him. Out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air. Wait a minute. It said in Genesis chapter 1, man was made last. And now here it's saying the animals were made last. That is not what it's saying. When you read chapter 2, chapter 2 is not a highlight of day 6. It's a detailed look into day 6. Chapter 1, highlights of day 1 through 6. Chapter 2 is the details of day 6. A closer look at it. The animals were still all made. The Bible tells us in Genesis 2 that God made the garden, put the man in it. He grew the garden up around him, and then he made him a helper. And he made one more of every kind of animal. So Adam could see the creative ability of God and his creation, his power. So he makes Adam on day 6 in the garden. And then he creates one more animal and brings it to Adam and every kind, and Adam names it. And Adam looks at all the animals and says, God, there's none comparable to me. And God says, it's not good for man to be alone. So then he makes them. He makes Eve, the woman. It's not a contradiction. It's not a different telling. It's a detailed look at day 6. Careful reading and keeping things in context explain every error, every contradiction that people point to. Now, there are many examples in the Bible that appear to be contradiction or errors. But again, careful study, the Bible proves itself every time. The Bible is perfect, which it should be if God created it. And it's amazing how the Bible is attacked and doubted by so many people as an unreliable document, especially when compared to other ancient documents. The Bible has overwhelming manuscript evidence that completely blows all other manuscripts, all other documents out of the water. So I want to look at the manuscript evidence of the Bible. Before I do that, I want to give you guys a little bit of a lesson on scrolls. Now, back in the day, they had scrolls. Most of the beginning was animal skins, and then later it became papyrus and things like this. But basically, you would have scrolls, and you would unroll the scroll and be writing on the scroll. As you read it, you'd roll it up, you'd unroll this end, and you'd work your way across, okay? And then when you were done, you'd roll the scroll up. Now, after many, many times of being unrolled, unopened, unrolled, and everything else, the manuscript, the scroll, would start to wear out. So what would you do? You would hire a scribe to come in and make a certified copy of the original. Now, what the scribe would do is he would lay the scrolls pretty much side by side. He'd take one line from the original, and he would write it on the copy, line by line. He would check each line, make sure he had the right amount of lines. Then he would count each word in every line. make sure they match. Then he would count every letter in that line to make sure no letters were missing. Then he would count the words, and it was such a painstaking process, especially for those who were copying the word of God because they held it so precious. But here was another reason. A scribe could make a perfect copy of whatever manuscript he was writing. And then you had a certifier that would come in, and he would do the whole process of counting. If he got to the end of the scroll and found an error, do you know what happened? He didn't erase it. He didn't mark it out. He rolled it up, probably shaking his head, looking at the scribe, who had just spent probably weeks or months on it, and he walked over and he destroyed it in a fire. And the scribe did not get paid. So if you're a scribe, you're going to make you're going to be very clear with your work. You're going to be very precise and very careful not to make a mistake. The reason I tell you this is that people say, oh, well, the Bible, you can't trust what the Bible says now because it's been, you know, a couple thousand years, and the original writer of the book of Genesis wrote his thing. And then, after a while, that copy wore out. So they made a copy of the original. And then they were using that copy, and it would get worn out. So they would make a copy of the original. And then they'd make a copy of the copy of the copy of the original. Somewhere in that process, oh, there was mistakes in the Bible. Oh, they changed what it really said in the beginning from the Old Testament to the New Testament. You can't trust the Bible. That's what they claim. Now let me show you something. Looking at other ancient documents, let's look at Aristotle's Ode to Poetics. It was written in 384 to 322 BC. The earliest copy of a copy of a copy of the original is dated back to 1100 AD. Only 49 manuscripts of this work survived. The gap between the original writing and the earliest copy is 1400 years. 1400 years of scribes copying of copies of the original. Do you know the secular world never questions Aristotle's work as being full of errors or changed or not real? You know they never attack it? They accept that, oh, this is the work of Aristotle. Even though there's a 1400-year gap where many mistakes could have been made. No, what they say is, oh, no, you don't understand. The scribes, and they go into great detail how the scribes took such careful precision and endeavor in copying Aristotle's work. Okay, well, let's look at another one. Plato's Tetralogy is written in 427 to 347 BC. The earliest copy is AD 900. 7 manuscripts survive of this. The gap between the original writing and the earliest copy is 1,200 years. Again, no one in the secular world ever questions the authenticity of Plato's work here. Never questioned, never attacked. Then you say, well, why do they attack the Bible? And that is a good question, because let's look at the evidence, manuscript evidence for the New Testament alone. The New Testament manuscripts, not 7, not 49, 24,633 manuscripts of the New Testament. The New Testament was written between AD 48, starting with the Gospel of Mark, and AD 95, ending with the book of Revelation. The oldest manuscript date we have is to AD 90. The second oldest, AD 125. This gives us a narrow gap of 35 to 40 years from the original written by the apostles. So little time in between the originals and the copies. So many of them. And the world constantly says you can't trust the Bible. God said, my word will be for every generation. You know, the Bible is the number one selling book in human history. It's the most ignored, but it's also the number one selling in human history. It's gone around the world and in more language than any other written document in human history. But they constantly attack it. Then, let's go past just the New Testament. Does anybody know what happened in 1947? And what did we find? The Dead Sea Scrolls, right. Dead Sea Scrolls in 1947. A little Bedouin boy, a sheep herder, was throwing rocks into a cave system. They got lots of caves around there. And he heard some clay break. It was like glass. He went in there and they found all these clay jars. And inside were all these manuscripts. They're called the Dead Sea Scrolls. You can actually go online and Google this, and you can take a virtual tour of the Dead Sea Scroll Museum online and see these scrolls. Inside these Dead Sea Scrolls were many books of the Bible. One in particular, the book of Isaiah. All right? The book of Isaiah found in the Dead Sea Scrolls predated. It was written before the life of Jesus Christ. It predated him. And in 1947, they took this scroll predating Jesus Christ in the book of Isaiah, and they opened up the Bible to the book of Isaiah, and it matched 100%. There was some differences. What? Spelling differences. Spelling differences. If you go to Old English and try to read Old English, are there many spelling errors? Not then. It was correct spelling back then. But today it would be wrong. Languages change, but the meaning stays the same. So, the book of Isaiah, the Dead Sea Scrolls, showed us that the Bible, the preservation of the Bible was so precious to those who were copying it that they did such a beautiful job. They held themselves to the highest standards. We can fully trust the Bible more than any other ancient document in the world. And since the Bible was so precisely copied, and the author is divine, the author is God, the Bible holds another place in human history as the best historical book known to man. Let me show you. Oh, wait, actually, before I jumped one more. Yeah, go to this one. I forgot. I put this in yesterday. I forgot about it. The Dead Sea Scrolls. This week on the 22nd, which was Thursday, this hit the news around the world. You see that little piece of like charcoal looking thing right there? That's a scroll. It's a burned scroll. The pages are fused together. It's just a burned up scroll. They didn't know what it was, but they found it in Israel. Well, they've had it for years, and they finally got the technology to be able to unwrap the first few layers without completely destroying it. That's what you see. They unwrap the first layer, and you see with the size, the little penny there. It's a very small, very delicate. They were able to unwrap it and take pictures of it. Do you know what they found? It's a book. It's a copy of the book of Leviticus. And guess what? They said, go to the next thing right there. Leviticus scroll discovery shows scriptural inerrancy. Go to the next one. In there, they carbon date it, which carbon dating does not work. We talk about that in our apologetics conference. But they can look at the writing. And just like there's classical Greek and the more modern Greek, Old English and modern English, you can look at the writing style and say, wait a minute, this goes to this period of time. The experts say that this scroll is probably dates back to the second half of the first century. What happened at the end of the first century to Israel? It was destroyed. Rome came in and burned the temple in 70 AD. And then they brought such persecution on the Jews, and they drove them out of the land. By 120 AD, there was barely any Jews in the land. Their temples, their synagogue had been burned. And now we're holding a scroll, piece of a scroll that was burned, that they say predates or dates back to the first century. And it's the book of Leviticus. And guess what this 1900-year-old document reads like? It reads just like the book of Leviticus in your Bible right now. The manuscript evidence is amazing for the Bible. Now, because it is the greatest historical document that we have. So let me move on to that.